To be present, we must be intentional, and to bear fruit, we must feed the soul. You're listening to Pod Sip and Ponder. Ponders, welcome back to another episode of Positive and Ponder. Happy New Year. We're gonna have a podcast come before this, but this is our first podcast recording of 2024, and so we're super excited. If this is your first time, my name is Pauline, also known as Pauline Ponders. This is a podcast where we talk about everything and anything in the aim to give you some encouragement. We do storytelling over here. We gain insight from one another, grow together. And yeah, we're super excited. If you've been a part of this community, Positive and Ponder, we've been doing a lot of more in-person events. And I just want to say thank you, everyone who was a part of our journey slowly becoming nonprofit last year. It was such a ride, so fun. It's so nice being able to see you guys face-to-face, growing with you guys. And so I hope you guys stick around. If you've gained value from this community, I highly encourage you guys to be a part of it. And we have an option where you can help us and support us financially. We are not supported by the government. So this is simply for those who believe in our vision. And if you'd like to be a part of that, we'll leave all of the information in our description below. But anyways, I'm super excited for today's episode. I have my lovely guests, Angelina and Lena. Which one do you want to go for this podcast, Lena or Angelina?
Angelina can work.
Angelina. So this is Angelina. She's an artist. We actually, I'll explain how we met and then I'll have you formally introduce yourself. We have a Starbucks nearby that our friends love to go to. We were doing work one day and I was talking to Matt. Some of you guys know him from the podcast, and we're talking about artists, creative things, and I think she overheard what we were just talking about, got interested, we got connected from there, followed each other on Instagram for a while now, but this is our first time seeing each other since then. And so I've only been seeing what's been going on in your life on the surface from social media, but I was super excited to catch up and learn more about you. Like I said, she's an artist, and I'm super inspired and encouraged by your content, and I'd love for you to share more about that and how you got to where you are today. But the things that really stood out to me was your vulnerability that you share on your Instagram and your content, and I think it's encouraging, and vulnerability is a great strength, and that's something that we really promote here. So yeah, for anyone who doesn't know you, can you please share anything about you, your interests, your hobbies, anything?
Well, I'm Angelina, nice to meet you guys. I've never been asked this question. That's kind of crazy.
Really? It's like a first date.
It is. Tell me about yourself. I enjoy painting and drawing, but I feel like there's just so many things to try. So there's definitely a lot of different like arts that I want to explore, but I need to get that financial stability before I can outsource to other creatives.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you like to do on your free time, other than art? Is there anything else that you enjoy doing?
I love the gym. I love exercising. I love to be out in nature, frolicking in fields. I enjoy hula hooping. Ooh. Like with the little tricks and stuff like that.
Wow.
I love to cook. One of my love languages is to cook, so I'm always cooking for my boyfriend or my family when I get the chance.
I love it. I feel like, yeah, I never met someone who was into hula hooping. I think that's a fun hobby.
It's so like freeing.
Yeah,
until you like hit yourself with the hula hoop.
Yeah.
But aside from that, it starts to like feel majestic once you get the hang of it.
Yeah. How did you get into that? Was it something that you saw online and started to do for
yourself?
So I would
see like girls at like music festivals online doing like all these tricks with it. And when I stopped smoking, I had a lot of time on my hands and I had a hula hoop. So I was like, maybe I can just teach myself. So I'd like watch videos and trial and error. And eventually I start being able to teach myself my own tricks.
Wow. Very nice. I love hearing about like just random hobbies, and I think it's good, you know, even if it's not like not everyone does it. I think that's what's special about it, and sometimes, especially at our age and adulting, like it's fun to have hobbies that you don't necessarily get paid by, that you just do for the pure enjoyment of it. So that's awesome. All right, so we're gonna get right into this podcast because I'm super excited. So like I said before, she's an artist, and I'll have her explain more about her artist journey. And I remember when we were talking about just being an artist and how it's a journey, and you know how at the same time you can find that your art kind of moves with your life and your transitions and your milestones. And just want to first start off with asking if you can share a little bit about basically who Angelina is or was months before, because we are years before, because we are technically just getting to know each other now, but just from seeing your content, you shared a lot about the things that you're struggling with, like you said, with certain habits or behaviors that you were into. So can you start from there? You can start from anywhere you feel comfortable sharing that journey and how art has been incorporated, or how you found art throughout that season.
So when I first started making art, it was actually when I was little. My grandma, she's a painter as well, but she used to paint like little ceramic stuff. But I don't like painting within the lines, so I enjoyed like the quality time of like creating with her and being able to paint, but I didn't enjoy like the actual process of painting in the lines. I used to draw a lot when I was in like middle school and stuff like that, but I didn't really take it serious. It was just more of me getting bored in class and I would just doodle around. But I started to get into art when it was my senior year, and I was struggling a lot mentally, so I asked my parents to put me in a mental hospital. And when I was in the hospital, we did all types of art therapy. We were doing like stuff with clay, we were doing painting, we were like painting each other's nails, just like a whole bunch of random things. But I promised my parents that before I left the hospital, I would have one healthy coping skill that I would keep, so I continued to paint and draw from there.
Wow. So painting and drawing wasn't necessarily that, like, you know how some people are kind of grow up already feeling like they're an artist already and started when they're young. So this is something that you kind of found later on. Wow. Beautiful. Okay. So can you talk more about your health, mental health journey and how, so you said you found it when you started going to the mental hospital. If you could share whatever you feel comfortable sharing about. How did that happen? How did all of that start?
So when I went to the mental hospital, I was going through a breakup at the time, and I was on my phone, like, way too much. And then senior year, it was just, like, the pressure of, like, what am I going to do when I grow up? And I didn't really want to go to college. Like, I tried going to college and stuff like that just to make my parents happy, but I realized I just really didn't like it. Like, I don't like to ironically just sit down. I like to like move around and just like try things, and I feel like when I was in high school it just kind of suppressed any creativity that I could have. So when I was in the hospital, I was there for like 10 days and we had no phones. It was complete strangers. My parents would visit me every day. They were kind of like nervous about it because I think they blamed themselves for me struggling mentally, but I don't think it was them at all, because like they gave me all the love they could. It was just my own mind I was like battling with. But when I left the hospital, I luckily could paint, but things didn't necessarily get better right away, because that's when it was like a time period I first started smoking. Like I would smoke like little dab pens, and I start smoking weed, and I start drinking and stuff like that. So those habits start to pick up, but I guess the best part of leaving the hospital was just picking up like a healthy coping skill, but it just kind of flowed along with the negative ones too.
So it took a place that you, like the things that were hindering you from growing or causing you to go through moments of pain, it had to be taken away and for you to be in a whole new environment. Wow. Oh, interesting. And so after you left the hospital, you just continued to do art for yourself? And
mm-hmm. My parents, we went to, like, the dollar store, and we got, like, 50-cent poster boards, because I didn't even know you could paint on canvases. Mm-hmm. It was funny, because I actually got one of my friends to start painting, and I was like, look, like, there's these, like, posted boards. And then one day she was like, you know, you can use canvases. And I was like, no, but you can get more poster boards so you can paint on more things.
Right.
Not realizing that, like, in order to have, like, a painting really last, it shouldn't be on a 50-cent posted board. But my parents, they got me paint and, like, brushes and everything. So I was just, like, painting every day.
Wow. Amazing. What is it about art specifically that, I guess, brought healing, you know, throughout your healing journey? Was it, you know, like you said, when you were younger, you didn't like kind of following the rules. You like getting out of the lines. And so what is it about art that brings you to, I guess, feelings of peace or, you know, whatever that may bring you?
I think the biggest thing is that it keeps you present. When I focus on one sense, I almost forget about my other senses sometimes.
I
could like stare in the mirror, but if I'm like thinking hard, I won't see myself in the mirror. So when I'm painting, it's like all I really see is the painting, and it's like everything around me gets quiet. So it's very calming.
So what is your process? Do you paint right after you get like inspiration from something, or do you kind of plan out what you want to do throughout the week?
So that has changed a lot over time. Before, when I would paint, I wouldn't plan anything. I would just get out the paint, just start painting, put some good music on, paint for hours, start another painting, and just do that over and over again. But as I've started creating content, I've noticed I put more pressure on myself, probably because I'm also like watching more content. So I'm like, oh God, my paintings need to be better. But so some paintings I'll plan out and they'll turn out nice. But I almost want to get more in touch with my old self, where I can just make a bunch of paintings with no pressure, like all in a night. And then now I have the pressure of, did I even paint if I didn't record it? So I'm like, oh gosh, because I can make a great painting,
that's,
and I'm
so
like,
real.
If I don't record it, I'm like, it doesn't even count.
Yeah, that's so real.
Because it's like, I want to market the painting as well. And the best way to do that is to record the process.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a difficult balance, especially when we're exposed to, you know, other artists and comparing. We fall into comparison a lot and self-doubt. Yeah, I've definitely gone into that, especially. So I grew up being an artist. My mom actually shared with me recently when I was thinking about this topic and brought it up to you, how she knew I was an artist the time that I was able to hold a pencil or a crayon. So I was like 2 years old.
Aww.
And she told me that before, when I was younger, I would wake up in the middle of the morning and I would just draw. And then I would draw until I fell back asleep. So art has definitely been a big part of my life. I was always the kid that if we were given an assignment, I would always do the most color and color outside of the lines and do more than what was instructed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it was really fun. And then I really resonated the part when you said you wanted to kind of tap into how you loved it before, how you had no followers following you in your journey. It was just you, simply you and the paint. And sometimes it does have it takes us to log off for a little bit and to regain that love. I think it's nothing's bad with posting, but there does have to be a balance. And I think reflection is just always good, you know, and just always being intentional with your art. And it took me a while for me to even call myself an artist, because
I feel that one.
I still do sometimes, but I've definitely been able to reclaim myself as an artist again. Like, after I dedicated literally elementary school up to senior year of high school, I was an artist. I was getting ready for art school and everything. And I had no plan B. Like, that's how invested I was in this dream that I had. And then, you know, things didn't come through, and finances were just not there for me to go to art school. So my plan B that I had was, well, I wanted to be an art teacher. So like, okay, let me just start off just being, you know, studying to be a teacher. Things happen, blah, blah, blah. I couldn't even call myself an artist, because my idea of what an artist was, you had to produce every single day. Mm-hmm. I was so used to deadlines and assignments, and it just, as much as my art program really helped me, it kind of killed the creativity. And then I had to go through the whole journey of like, what is an artist? Like, what does that mean for me? Like, mm-hmm. you know, what did all of these pieces mean? I took a moment to put it down. But then even no matter how much I pushed it away, like, creativity and art was just always tugging at me, and I always felt like, so what really helped me was really going back to my inner child and just remembering the joy of just creating for the sake of creating, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah, so, and I found that art can be found in everywhere. Like, art can be found within relationships. It can be found in your job, your career. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be just one place, one thing. And for you, because I'm assuming you mainly work with paint, or mm. yeah, so have you ever felt curious about other mediums, or?
Oh my gosh, yes, I think about this all the time, because I want to get into like sculpting, I want to make music, I want to learn how to dance. Oh, there's just so many much. Things.
And I'm
I have,
telling
like,
you, dude,
a list
yeah.
of, like, things I want to do once I have more money.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And, you know, you keep mentioning money, but don't be limited by that, you know?
Yes, don't. And the hard thing
yes and no,
is
I know.
That, like, the supplies I would want cost
sure.
money.
Like, sure, absolutely.
One thing that stops me from creating sometimes is the quality of paint that I have. Mm. It's not the consistency that I'd like. Mm-hmm, I'll get like the cheapest paint I can possibly get so that same. I can paint as much as I can. But there is a difference between like the more quality, like acrylic paint, especially because one of my bigger goals is I want to own my own art museum. Mm. So I need the paintings to last. So with the lower quality, the color actually changes throughout mm-hmm. the years.
Well, so. Girl, I have a lot of paint, so if you ever want to borrow some, because I'm barely using them. But still, you know, I think even if you'll always, if you love something, you'll find a way, you mm-hmm. know, even to just, sometimes you got to pivot sometimes, but, mm-hmm. You know, if you're willing, if you're passionate enough, you'll find a way to get there. And I'm sure, you know, mm-hmm. with just enough resilience and power and patience, you'll be able to get to where you want. And I'm cheering you on. I can't wait, dude. Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
All right. So
you're invited, by the way.
I would hope so. Thank you.
Too.
So how would you describe your art? I've seen your stuff online, and I guess from an audience standpoint, I really see it as like, I don't want to say, I guess, no, I think childlike, not childish, but childlike. And
it's
I
like
love
cartoon.
That. Yeah, I love that. Can you share more about your style and how you got, you know, to where you are and your style? Yeah, for as an artist.
So it's so hard to describe what my art looks like, because everyone will like imagine their own thing. But I definitely have like a more cartoon style. And I like to over-exaggerate some of my characters' features. Mm. I feel like people worry too much about how they look, for example. Like, people will be like, God, like, my ears are too big, or my nose, or this. So sometimes I'll make someone have, like, a gigantic nose and, like, tiny lips just to, like, exaggerate it. I feel like my painting and my drawing style are kind of different. I used to draw, like, with just pencil, like, black and white drawings. But after the hospital, my artwork started to get a lot more colorful as mm-hmm. I, like, started to improve myself. And so then my paintings got very colorful. And some of my drawings were really colorful when I was on drugs. But then now my drawings are mostly, like, black ink and then, mm-hmm. like, a bit of color. Mm-hmm. Not, like, as colorful. And then my paintings, they're still colorful, but not as colorful as they used to be. Mm. So I think another thing that changes is the seasons. I like to, like, I have certain color palettes that I like for each season.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the fall, of course, it's like brown and orange. And in the summer, or like springtime, it would be like more pastels.
Yeah. Yeah, great. What can you share one of your favorite pieces and kind of the meaning behind it?
One of my favorite pieces. I wish I could just show it on my phone, but
we'll feature it right here somewhere.
Just somewhere on the screen.
Yeah.
Probably. I have two. I don't even remember what I named one of them. Oh my gosh, how embarrassing!
I don't even name them. Like a.
I only name them if I'm gonna have them in my store.
Mm,
yeah,
I see,
the,
yes.
Probably one of my favorite ones. It's called the Nightmare. No, the monster in my room is me, and that was from a nightmare I used to have as a kid. I used to have a lot of nightmares when I was a kid, but there is this one nightmare where there is this. It was like this tall, shadowy figure that would like follow me around. And every time I would mess something up, it would start laughing, but nobody else in the room could see it. And I would have that dream a lot. And I used to wonder, like, well, why is the monster following me? And like, why am I having this dream? And as I got older, I realized it was like the monster was me. It was like my own anxieties, my own doubts and fears following me around. And that like it was a different form of me. So in the drawing, there's like all these swirls, kind of like the anxiety you feel at nighttime when you go to bed, like in a bad mood or in a fearful mood. And then it has like this like little girl with like curly hair, like in the bed, kind of like under the covers. And then the monster, it kind of looks like a fuzzy monster because of how I drew it, but it's like a little figure above the bed. And I'll have that character in like different drawings that I do. And I also like to incorporate the swirls. I don't even know how to explain them, but they express how I feel in a lot of, like, my drawings and my paintings.
Wow. Do you plan out kind of in your head? You said earlier that you kind of go back and forth with. Yeah.
For the most part, though, I usually don't plan out. The things I plan are usually, like, presents for people. But if I'm just, like, drawing or painting, unless I have, like, a vision I might outline, but for the most part, I'll just start and just see where it takes me.
Wow. I believe art and creativity really, like I said before, really aligns with what we're doing. Like, for example, my podcast, every topic that I do, I don't usually plan out my topics. It's really relevant to what's happening in my life, and that's why I love that style too. And I love journaling because that definitely helps me too, and kind of generating what things I want to talk about with people. And it's amazing when I find someone that, you know, kind of resonates with it as well. And so for you, has your perspectives on life changed? You mentioned how, you know, you got out of the mental hospital and now you're working towards, you know, I guess, what are you working towards now that you're out? Let's start from there, actually.
Now that I'm out. It's so crazy because I was in the hospital, like, in 2017. So it's been, like, 6 years now. Yeah. And it's crazy because I went in, like, the winter time, too. I feel like so much has changed from there. I can just, like, go, like, almost, like, by the year.
Yeah.
So 2017, that was my senior year. When I left the mental hospital, I definitely was struggling a lot just because I didn't know what I want to do. And I didn't have the nicest group of friends. They were, like, kind of mean, and I feel like they made me feel very discouraged. But that was also the year that I met my boyfriend. And he's helped me a lot with, like, my whole mindset shifting and whatnot. And with, like, the habits that I have, a lot of the things that I post about mental health on my Instagram all stem from habits that he has helped me build.
Aww.
Like, one thing I used to always say to him was, God, I'm so awkward, awkward this. And finally, one day, he was like, why do you say that? I was like, say what? He was like, why do you always say that you're awkward? You're not awkward. Like, you're really pleasant. Like, you're a very pleasant person to be around. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Right.
So at first I was like, is he lying to me? But I realized that I would just talk negatively to myself all the time. And I remember I used to journal. My aunt gave me this journal. And she was like, okay, like, if you feel sad, like, you can journal it. But the problem was every time I would journal, I'd write negative things. So like one thing I used to struggle with was like just talking in general, because I felt like I was like being annoying or like burdening people. So I would write down like stop talking and just like fill up the whole page. And then I would do that with like all different types of things. So I realized like, oh my gosh, I'm like manifesting negative things for myself. Like I can't get better if I'm writing these things down. Because it's one thing if you like write how you're feeling, but if you're feeling that way and you keep writing it over and over, then it's like the universe hears you. Mm-hmm. It's going to keep giving you that. Mm-hmm. So 2017 was when I was like working on like how I would talk to myself. But then I still had, I didn't realize that like your five closest friends are you. Mm. And so I had negative people that were still like bringing me back to like my old self. And then I was struggling with addiction. I struggled with addiction until like 2020. So I was like smoking every day from like 2018 to like 2020. Mm. And then when I would try to stop smoking, I would end up drinking. And then if I tried to stop drinking, I end up trying, I forgot what it was called, but basically pills that would make you like hallucinate and stuff like that. So it's like I kept just going from like one negative coping skill to the next, while still painting and drawing. But I think that things start really changing in like 2020 when COVID hit. I was happy.
Girl, because, some of us needed it.
Yeah, because my problem was I used to always, I needed to be around people because I just didn't want to be like sitting in my own thoughts or like being alone. Like I craved human interactions. And my parents were like worried about COVID, so I couldn't leave the house. So suddenly I could say no to all plans and I didn't have to feel guilty for saying no to a person. And that's when I stopped smoking, because it got to the point where when I would smoke, I start coughing out blood. And I continued smoking, crazy enough. Like, looking back, I'm like, why would you do that? But I kept smoking until finally I end up having a really bad smoking trip. So I used to get panic attacks a lot. But I had this one panic attack where I just thought I was going to die, and I was like with one of my close friends at the time, and I was like telling her, I was like, we're gonna die, this person's gonna murder us, like just saying crazy things. And then I also couldn't even like talk or breathe, and I was like coughing up blood. And this was near like my 20th birthday, and I was like, I need to stop smoking, like I can't keep living this way. And I end up, so I was also on antidepressants at this time. I started antidepressants when I left the hospital. So I had been on them for like 2 to 3 years. And I got like a stomach bug or something. And I was going to stop taking medication anyways, but you're supposed to wean off of it. Mm-hmm. But since I had the stomach bug, I couldn't take the medicine anyways. So I cold turkey stopped my medication and cold turkey just stopped smoking. And for, like, a month, I was just in, like, withdrawal, like, crazy. Like, I felt like, you know when you have, like, a body part fall asleep? Like, that sensation when you can't wake it up? That was, like, in my entire body. Wow. Like, that's what it felt like. Wow. At least from, like, the medication. And then I think the mental aspect of stopping smoking was difficult as well. Just because I was so used to it.
Yeah.
Wow. So that all happened, like, the end of 2020. And then going into 2021, that's when I started, like, exercising more and I started learning about nutrition. I started posting on TikTok, like, posting my art for the first time. I was so nervous. I had such cringy content. You cannot find it anywhere. Guys. They are archived. You will never find them. Because I used to just do any trend and, like, and I was, like, bald at the time. So I was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I've definitely improved the video making. But I just started learning a whole bunch of things really fast in 2021 to, like, now. And I think mostly, like, last year, I start getting, like, an information overload. Because I feel like I've really learned, like, ignorance is bliss, because the more you know, sometimes things get more stressful, because it's, like, you see things differently, especially when it comes to, like, nutrition and stuff like that, Because I've realized there's a lot of things you can do to improve your mental health besides just like being kind and gentle with yourself. Like the foods you eat, the products you use, like all these different things, like your gut health. And I was just like, whoa. Like, but then when I think back to when I was struggling, I'll just think like, dang, I was smoking, I was drinking, I was eating bad, my sleeping schedule was bad, I had negative people around me. Like, I set myself up to just keep crashing if I didn't change something.
So what well, first of all, I would just say I'm super proud of you.
Thank
Really. Yeah,
you.
that's amazing. So what kind of started you what helped you start get into well, let me say that again. What helped you start getting interested in nutrition? Was it because the doctors were just telling you, or you just kind of fell into it?
So, I think that's a good question. I don't even know what
Yeah,
started.
because well, just that in general, because I'm sure some people, someone listening may be going through the things that you went through, and some may be saying like, oh, well, that worked out for her. Like, I don't know where to start. How did she suddenly just want to switch? It's not that easy, and you know that it's not that easy. So what was that for you?
I think maybe it was, so when I used to have panic attacks, I realized that a big trigger was when I had too much processed sugars. And before I thought it was just like, oh, I'm just having too many negative thoughts, but I realized like you are what you eat. And one of the worst panic attacks that I had, I went to like a Halloween party and I had cupcakes and cake and ice cream and like candy bars. And by the end of the night, when I was having a panic attack, I physically couldn't move at all. So, my boyfriend at the time, we like parked in front of my house because he was taking me home, and I was like hyperventilating. I couldn't talk to him, but I could hear everything he was saying. And sometimes I'll lose like my grip, like control. So I was just kind of like, I don't know, just moving my fingers. And my parents were confused why we were just sitting in front of the house. My dad starts calling, but I couldn't pick up the phone. And finally he like told them like, oh, she's having a panic attack. And him and my dad had to carry me into the house. And that's when I was like, wow, like maybe I'm having too much sugar. But I don't know, I don't remember exactly what made me want to start learning about nutrition. I think a part of it might have just been since I was exercising, I was like, let me start eating good too. And
I
I feel
see.
like there's phases of like learning nutrition. So my first phase was like whatever you see on TV and social media, like that must be what's healthy. So that's when I started seeing like the pumpkin seeds, like granola stuff, like yogurt, peanut butter, like a salad, a little bit of meat, stuff like that. But then I found this one doctor. His name is like, ironically, his name is like Paul Salad, but he talks about how vegetables aren't good, which is crazy. But so he started talking about how good meat is for you and all the vitamins and minerals that you can find like just in like beef liver or steak and stuff like that, which is why I was so happy there's so much meat today. They fed me so good. But and then he was talking about how vegetables aren't always healthy. And at
Oh,
first
my
I was
boyfriend would
like,
love to hear that.
yeah, he starts talking about like vegetables aren't healthy and here's why. And at first I was like, what do you mean? Because when you've been told something your whole life and you hear the opposite, you're like curious and almost in denial. And he started talking about how, so if someone's attacking me or you, we're gonna try to defend ourselves. But if you're a plant, you can't physically fight off a human. So what plants do is they release chemicals so that when you eat them, it's hard to digest them. They're called plants defense chemicals. And there's different types. There's like phytic acid, oxalates, lectins, and they all like do different things to prevent you from absorbing like the vitamins and minerals that you need.
Interesting.
And some people, like you can still, you're not gonna eat like a piece of lettuce and you're like about to die or anything like that. But some people that do struggle with like certain conditions, it can like make it worse. And I was like, whoa, that's crazy. And then I started learning about how the same those defense chemicals are also in like seeds like almonds and peanuts and stuff like that. And then when you mess with your digestion, that can cause you to be more anxious and depressed because you can get a leaky gut. And I was just like, this is crazy. And then I start learning about, it's called seed oils, and it's in most foods. It'll be in, like, cereals, granola bars, and it causes a whole bunch of different, like, medical issues when you consume too much. Hmm. And the reason that they start putting seed oils in food is because it used to be a machine lubricant, and it would secrete so much extra that they put money into marketing the seed oils as heart healthy so that they can make a profit. Wow. And then all the old holistic ways of healing, they made it seem like it's just an alternative, is not actually good for you. Hmm. So I've been in my journey of like learning what foods are good and the different ways they try to tamper with food. Mm-hmm. But long story short, I'm going to own a farm because the way they tamper with food is crazy. But in like a... This is so much I know.
No, I'm learning.
But as like a bigger picture, basically, if you tamper with the food, you tamper with people's minds, and then you have a lifetime customer. And it That's was crazy facts. Because it felt like it hit the core, because I think a lot of my mental health issues stemmed from the foods that I was eating.
Wow.
Because I used to eat like peanut butter sandwiches, Doritos, and like carrots like every day in like elementary school. And then I realized, like, the bread has the seed oils that's going to mess with your mental health. And it has the gluten, which causes the indigestion. Then the peanut butter also has the seed oils. Doritos have, like, the MSG and this and that. Mm. So it's just, like, you're not even absorbing any minerals and nutrients that could make you happy. Mm. And it's just, like, so crazy.
And it's crazy because I've been hearing a lot about that, you know, how... in America, there's just so many things that we let pass in our diet, and mm-hmm. and there's other places in the world, like the UK, for instance, things that we have here, they've banned over there for mm-hmm. a reason. And people ask, like, you know, how, like, Africans have great teeth because they don't have the sugary foods that we mm-hmm. always eat over here, and, you know, their bones are healthy. And so, yeah, I mean, I did a fast these past weeks, and it was my first time doing it for like 10 days. So
good for you. That's hard.
It is.
That's mental.
It is. I did it mainly for spiritual reasons, and the physical things are a byproduct of that. But it just caused me to be so much more mindful. Like, I wasn't even like craving the foods that I used to. And it really starts with the head too, because you train your head or train your mind to really think of that. You know, this is good, you know, this is gonna be fine, blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. But you saying that you eat meat more, that's fine by me. I'll just go to mm-hmm. Korean barbecue every day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically I have it's called an animal-based diet, so mm-hmm. it's like raw dairy, so it'd be like raw milk, raw cheese, a lot of meat, eggs, honey. Raw milk and honey.
Ooh, yes.
So good. Raw yeah. milk is illegal here, so I have to drive to Pennsylvania just to get it.
Oh, wow.
That's the other thing. Like, things like raw milk, they make it seem like it's really dangerous, which if they don't clean the cow properly, it can be. But usually, like, local farms, like the Amish farm I go mm-hmm. to get my raw milk, they clean the cows perfectly fine, and then I get all the benefits of milk.
Interesting. What's the shelf life on raw
so milk? That's the other thing, since it's just milk, it's like 2 weeks.
Okay.
But I drink it fast. Lot, yeah. I drink it so well, fast.
Well, Mary and I are going to PA this weekend, so maybe we'll pick... We're actually... Our Airbnb is a tiny home on a dairy farm, so we'll try to pick you one up if they're open. Yeah.
You gotta try it. It is so
would love
good.
To bring you.
It's crazy because it's been known to, like, cure, like, asthma, eczema, really? Like, all these big things, but they, like, demonize it.
Wow. No, that's, like, causing me... Like, I'm gonna research a lot after this. That's so interesting. But it's so good, and it seems like it's been helping you a lot, mm-hmm. you know, physically and mentally. Anything that you put in, you know, you bring out. So I'm so happy for you. That's
Thank
awesome.
You.
And I'm assuming you're gonna put more information, like, more content talking about that stuff, because mm-hmm. that stuff is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. There's a lot I can learn from you. All right, so going back. So we talked about this earlier. Were there any other things in your life that you had to let go of and to help you move forward in life? So you said friends and certain habits.
I think grudges as well. I was actually gonna make a short film about this, but I'll tell you a sneak peek. So basically I wanted the short film to be about how, so I'm gonna have like 2 milk gallons and I'm basically going to compare what it's like if you were to like hold your emotions. So let's say in one jug it's like grief, the other one is like trauma. So if you're holding both of the gallons and then there's another jug for like happiness or something like that, the only way you can hold the happiness is to let one of them go. So I want to make a short film with that concept in general. But I think that sometimes I'll like hold on to things in the past that like weigh me down, or I know they don't make me happy, and there's like nothing I can do about the situation now. So I think that's a big thing I gotta do.
Are you still going through that and struggling with?
I think sometimes it depends on the day.
Sure, yeah.
Sometimes I'll think that I'm like healed from certain things, and then like next day I'm like, ooh, that kind of hurt.
Girl, it's a journey, and I don't think we can, you know, fully be healed. You know what I mean? Like, it's still gonna be a journey. It's still gonna linger. You know, when they say forgive and forget, it's hard to forget sometimes. But at least from personal experiences, because I've had my fair share in, you know, in grudges, and for those who really hurt me and people that I didn't even know hurt me, it's an active decision that you have to make every single day. I think it's important to acknowledge it, but I think gratitude is definitely like a great place to start in terms of whenever you have any negative emotion. Gratitude always kind of saves it. I mean, it's not, you know, gonna fix things right away, but the more you practice gratitude, the more you're able to let go of things, and then you realize that, you know, you do hold so much more power than you think you do, you know. But that's a journey in itself, so yeah.
What did you mean by not realizing that people hurt you?
I knew they hurt me. Actually, it was involved trauma where a stranger hurt me. So that was definitely a thing, and I can talk more about that and how art has helped me. So there's a lot of things in my childhood that a kid should never go through, where I was not put in a safe place. There was like sexual assault by a stranger on a train when I was younger, which was, it was around when I was 12 and 13. On top of that, there was like bullying going on. We were moving a lot. Mom had a really bad boyfriend, and I've opened up about this before. And I think what's interesting about art is that when you're doing art, it's just you and the paintbrush, right? This is something that you can control. And while, you know, everything was happening, that's something that I could not control. And I think that's what built up, you know, the anxiety that I had growing up. But once I started, like, learning, you know, like, that, you know, sometimes things are just in our head, you know, and then it starts to take over. But at a certain point, you have to realize, like, you know, some people don't even know that they're hurting you. Some people forgot, or, you know, they're not thinking ill towards you anymore. And so you have to make the active decision to live the life, to reclaim your life, basically. Because I think sometimes we can allow people to dictate our lives, or we take on people's narratives of us, or take on the narrative of even just the trauma that we had, and think that that's the end, that's all we're gonna have in life. And you know, but it's a journey. And so I'm really thankful for art, because it was definitely my getaway to be able to be like, oh, I control this. That's why I like always change my room like all the time, reorganize, you know. I love planning, and, you know, and then the things that I had to work out through in the future, especially with art. Oh my gosh, I've talked about this on an episode, how I was such a perfectionist when it came to art, which really spoiled the creativity. I grew up doing portraits, so you gotta try to do as realistic as you. That's why I like sometimes envy you, because I am no abstract artist. I was always used to painting like almost like as close as possible. And there would be moments where I'd be so fixated on the finished product. I think that also was stemmed from the anxiety that was built up growing up. So I would like be so focused on finishing, and I would never even appreciate the process. I would never appreciate the in-between. On top of that, I was on deadline, so we have to sign, you know, turn in all these assignments. And so I feel like that was kind of, I took that for granted that time that I had. And then after, you know, moments of like messing up and everything, I had to be like, okay, this is a little too much. Like, I'm burning myself out. Why not just enjoy the process, you know? Because before I would throw out a piece completely, you know, I wouldn't even, yeah, dude.
I could not.
I would even like, no, man, I was so hard on myself. If I wasn't able to finish, or if I wasn't able to complete it. And so, yeah, that's why I always believe that art follows us throughout life. Like, you know, we see our change in our life through our art sometimes too. It's like, oh, why did I do that? Like, why did I make that? That's like, cringy.
Ooh, I was going through it.
Yeah, but it's literally a documentation of your life. You know, this podcast is a documentation of my life, the lives of my friends. And so that's the beautiful thing I think about art, is it's literally something that you can look back upon, you know, when you're older, and just to be like, wow, I really went through that. And just imagine if you didn't show up making that piece, you know, what if you didn't show up?
I think about that a lot. I think about all the art that didn't get created because someone was too nervous to make it. It's like, oh my gosh. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. I started practicing like making something and then not posting it for a little bit when I was on a hiatus, and I was just super, it was really nice to be, of course, but I felt it. Like, I felt my, like, the rage in myself being like, what are you doing? Like, you gotta, you know, you gotta post it, or you gotta, you know, you gotta make it better. Like, you know, but I allowed myself to make mistakes. And I think that's a big part of a healing journey, is to realize, like, sometimes we're going to think about our past and then be, you know, really depressed for a day. And sometimes we're going to fall into certain habits that we used to go through. But I think that's just a part of it. And I think if you are so fixated on being perfect, so fixated on, you know, or comparing yourself to other people's lives, which should not, because we're all our own individual. We go through our own journey ourselves. The process starts being, like, it becomes beautiful in your eyes, you know. So yeah, I think that's why I love art, because it's just what was the quote? I'm gonna butcher it, but basically it's just a translation of our lives, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one second, my bow is stabbing me.
No worries.
Okay, there we go, I got it.
Okay, we're on time. All right, so I'll ask probably my last few questions. This is great.
The conversation's great.
I know. We're definitely going to have to do another one after this. All right. So, talked about that. All right. What lessons have you learned in your artist journey so far?
That's a good question. To paint what I want. I think a lot of artists, and it's not always a bad thing, but it wouldn't work for me personally, but they create art for other people. But I like to create art for me and how I'm feeling, or if I consciously want to inspire another person. But like commission work, for example, I feel like I would struggle, because have like an abstract style, like if someone asks for a portrait, like, you're gonna be like a little stick figure.
Yeah, for sure.
With some like weird eyes.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not for me.
No,
and I feel like I don't ever wanna reach a point where I can't enjoy painting, because it feels like a job and not something that I just love to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big one.
That's a good one. I would say the same thing, actually. Yeah, because I've experienced, I used to do commissions. during COVID, which helped. Mm-hmm. But, and it's like you set yourself up to do it. So it's like they would do last minute revisions after it's already technically done. And then I had to go back and fix it. And it was fun. And they were grateful that I made it for them. But I feel like it was limiting me. And mm-hmm. I had to focus on finishing it for them when I could have spent more time just like exploring my craft, exploring other things. And you're so focused on not messing up too. Aww. So so I mean I'll do it, you know, for other things, but for portraits at least I can't, because it's too much of a risk to make it not look like that. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you through my painting.
Like, dang, am I this ugly?
They're like, you were supposed to make a portrait, that is not me.
This is a caricature.
Someone else. Yeah, but I love that. And I am inspired to continue to create and go back into kind of like my roots. And, you know, I've noticed, especially when we're in the new year, and I think it's a good thing to reword what we say when we say, oh, you know, I don't have time. Like, I don't have time to go to the gym. I don't have time to paint. If you were to switch the words to it, like, the gym is not my priority. Well, deep inside, you know you want to do it, right? But if you switch the words, it makes it so much more serious and so much more urgent, you know? And so I really hope to be able to prioritize painting and drawing, because that's my roots, you know, and mm-hmm. I do enjoy it. But I've been having a great time through Positive and Ponder, because I'll be having events where I'm hosting painting stuff. So, and you should definitely go to the next one.
I was thinking, actually, I was stalking you before I came, and I was like, why have I never seen her post about them having an event before the event? I was like, I love meeting strangers.
Just join our email list and you'll know. Yeah.
Oh, that's what I needed to do. Yeah. This makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah. We keep it.
I have to join. What the heck?
That's a good thing though, guys. Yeah, please join our email list if you're in the DMV area. We post on there first before putting on social media. And a lot of our things are intimate, are intentional. So we don't usually just put it out there. But yeah, so you'll be on there now. So you can be up to date with every event. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll ask one more question, sadly. Oh, but yeah, this has been a lot of fun. So do you have, or actually, which one should I do?
There's two questions.
You might as well ask both. I have a few more. Right now, this is my show. Okay. Oh, okay. I don't know which one I should ask first. Okay, actually, we'll just do this one. I think it'll be a good one. I think you'll be able to. This would be a good ending. Why do you do what you do, and what pushes you to do what you do?
Why do I do what I do? I want to inspire other people to go after the things that they love.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like too many people live life like they're not gonna die. So it's like they don't take care of themselves, or they don't take care of their people, or they're unkind. But I feel like if everyone just was nicer or had like an abundant mindset, that things would improve for everyone.
Mm.
That makes sense. So like one of my beliefs is that everyone is creative. I don't believe that one person is more creative than another, but I do think that a lot of children, they have the creativity like beaten out of them.
Mm,
and I think that it's just from like everything is like projection. Yes. So like, let's say your parents don't like the life that they're living or something like that, then they're going to project that negativity and fear and doubt onto the child. So then the child will not practice creativity more, and then stray away from all of it. What was the question?
I love that. We can stand that.
I was trying to remember how we got back.
Originally, it was like, why do you do what you do?
Yeah.
I love that, though.
Crazy. Yeah. But if we were to, so let's say I have a child, and instead of pushing fear and negativity, I push positivity. And whatever they're into, I give them everything that they can so they can keep doing what they do. So get bigger canvases or more supplies, and then they can or create like a safe space in general. And then like, boom, there's like an artist. Like they were always an artist to begin with, but now they identify as like an artist. And so I feel like I just want to create that space where everyone can do whatever they want and whatever they love and be able to be financially stable at the same time. So like making money from the things that you love. But you made me think of one of my other big goals is I want to open my own like art library. So I mentioned to you that there's certain crafts that I haven't tried because I don't have the money. And I'm sure there are billions of people that feel the exact same way. For example, I want to do pottery, but I don't have the money for a pottery class, for a kiln, for the wheel, for the clay. But if I had an art library, then there could just be like thousands of other artists that can, like there'll be instruments in the place and there'll be like kilns and there'll be paint, oil paint, pens, markers, all these like sketchbooks and stuff like that. But just to create like a space where people can be creative without having to stress about the money for it. And then they can end up learning how to make the money in the process.
Like, I like that.
That'd be so cool.
Wow. Oh, I'm claiming that for you. Actually, what I've been loving about Positive and Ponder is that we have been doing those type of events. And I do that. Well, one, it helps me get into painting again because I just have to do it in an event setting to push myself to. But I love that idea, you know, being able to share something you love so deeply to give to others. I think it's one thing as an artist to work for yourself and to be like, I got to do this on my own and blah, blah, blah. But it's so much better when you're able to share. I think that's the whole what makes life so interesting, what makes life so beautiful is to be able to offer a bit of yourself to others. And that in return, you know, they'll be able to give to others, whether it's advice or encouragement, inspiration, you know, bouncing off each other with ideas. Yeah, so we'll definitely talk about, you know, all of your visions and after this, because I love hearing that. And I love your heart. I love your spirit. I love your energy. And I just love what you've been. I feel like you're in a season of cultivating something, you know, and I know that it may take a while and there may be limitations that you think will hinder, but it seems like you're very, for the most part, very consistent, really passionate. So I'm for sure, I know that whatever you decide to do, it will take off, which is sometimes. Man, I see it so much. And, you know, I don't take my guest speakers lightly. Like, I choose specifically. And even though this is technically our first time meeting, I feel like I feel like I always think it's a gift too. I always see and can feel and can discern, you know, when I see potential. And I feel like one of my biggest goals through Positive and Ponder and just my life in general is to be able to just, like you said, remind people that they've always been what they've always been. You know what I mean? And life gets in the way, being an adult, blah, blah, blah. Like, you're right. Like, life will always try to suppress us. Or at least society will. The government will. Whatever, you know, the systems will. And so I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that we connected again.
Me too.
especially in our area, because this is really what me and my friends are trying to cultivate here. Let me record that. Okay, good. that's what we're really trying to do here on Positive and Ponder, just to cultivate that safe place and yeah, just to enjoy the young prime years of our lives, you know, as we should, right? And not feel bound to the things that the world tries to scare us about, you know what I mean? And and just living to the fullest. So thank you, Angelina, thank you. For being here. I was happy to be here. Yes. How can people reach you or see your stuff? Do you have anything coming up that we should be looking out for?
I want to reopen my store this year. I don't have an exact date, but I'll keep you guys updated. So follow me. Well, I don't know if you'll put the, like, my Instagram.
We'll put it in the description, yeah.
Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. I think that's it.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see what you have in store for 2024. And, dude, we're here to support, too. We love helping artists and, yeah, and just connecting you with my artist friends because we just bounce off each other all the time. So all right, guys, thank you guys for listening. If you made it this far, thank you so much. And if you really like this episode, please like it on YouTube, and if whatever podcast platform you're on, please don't forget to subscribe, share it with people you think would gain value from this community, this podcast. And please don't forget to follow us on our social medias, on Instagram, Facebook. We are now on TikTok as well. So follow us on there. And also, if you're not on the email list, please do consider to follow us or subscribe to us on our email list. That's where you'll be able to stay updated and know when our next events are and exclusive content, all of that. And yeah, again, if you have gained value from Positive and Ponder, would like to be a part of the mission and vision and empowering young adults in our area to continue to be the best business owners, the most ambitious advocates for our community, and so much more, please do consider becoming a donor for Positive and Ponder. You can do that in the description below. And please do consider being a monthly donor. That will help us and secure all of our future plans. I do have plans of starting a financial program this year for young adults to be able to take, learn how to make financial decisions, wise decisions, so they'll be able to not only take care of ourselves, take care of our loved ones, and just, yeah, to live financially free lives. And also, another thing that I'm trying to do this year is have a woman's retreat, a one-day retreat. It's already in the books and planning on it, but of course we wouldn't be able to do it without your support. So please do consider or share this podcast, this community, with someone you think who would also be interested in supporting. All right, that's it for this episode. We'll see you in the next one. Woo! Don't forget, guys, to always love, to always be curious, and to always ponder. Bye.
Bye.
Yay, we did it. Great job.
Wait, you're so good at that.
It just took 4 years. I still stumble.
Nah, I think you're pretty good at it.